Good evening and welcome to another episode of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by myself, Brad Brood, and Kyle Lewis. And roller coaster of emotions today. A whole load of things to talk about today. We have hockey to watch as soon as we're done recording. Oh, where do we start, Kyle? Let's start with some real somber news, and that was the news we all saw today, with the story about Chris Snow that Kelsey posted, and how sad that is to hear.
Yeah, obviously there've been a fair amount of up and downs, and for quite a while now with regards to Chris's health, and I mean, what do you say in a situation like this, right? I mean, it's I think we've all at this point seen the tweet from his wife earlier today and the reactions to it since. I mean, obviously, Chris appears to be, I guess, at the end of his journey, at least in this life, so to speak. And it's, you know, when somebody just does rebound so many times and come back so many times, and you kind of all expect they will after that point, right? I mean, for him to continue to have contributed to the team the way that he did, despite all those health issues, you know, the lack of mobility, the difficulty speaking, I mean, it's, I can't think of a worse disease, you know, to be basically trapped inside your own body. And I've never seen anybody fight it as successfully and valiantly as he has. So it's tough. It's really, really tough. You and I talked on a phone call there a few hours ago when you and I spoke about it, and it doesn't get any more real than that.
Yeah. It's a sad situation. You feel for his wife and his poor children. And you know, they've handled this, I don't know, better than anybody could have ever expected through this, and they've been so strong. And I know that the hearts of every Calgary Flames fan, and, you know, quite honestly, the entire hockey world and a lot of baseball, because Chris was part of Major League Baseball prior to the NHL, have been tweeting today about it. And he's made an impact on a tremendous amount of people, and he's got a tremendous amount of people there pulling for him. But more importantly, there to support his family. It's a sad, sad deal. And the day started with, you know, multiple sad things. And, you know, this one just kind of weighed over the whole day, I think, just because of the finality of it and the magnitude of it.
Absolutely. I mean, the one thing I guess I'd say about it, I mean, this is all obviously still really fresh, but the way, you know, I actually lost a former a boss of mine, actually, very much a mentor, 10 years ago to ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. And, you know, he was diagnosed in May and gone in August. Yeah, it was unreal. And I mean, the only other story I knew of Jason Becker, you know, guitar virtuoso who still lives with it to this day, he was diagnosed over 20 years ago, or probably 30 years ago now, and still doing well. But he's, you know, confined to a wheelchair, can't really move at all other than his eyes, right? In Chris's case, I mean, his willingness to use experimental new treatments to fight the disease, his ability to continue working, as I mentioned, I mean, I think his story is one that gives a lot of people hope for anybody who's been affected by this disease or know anybody who's living with it. So, I mean, I have no doubt his work and his legacy will be continued on in many ways with regards to it, and not just with, you know, the fight against Lou Gehrig's disease, but also with the Flames. And he can kind of, how do you segue this, right? I mean, it's like Michael Backlund tried to do earlier when at the press conference, and Craig Conroy obviously was very teary-eyed discussing it. And we're going to attempt to do the same thing, and you know, keep Chris and his family in our thoughts as we try to do our show.
Absolutely, absolutely. Other news today that we thought was initially really bad news, it seems much smaller after hearing the Chris Snow news, but that is the extent of the injury that Jacob Peltier received today, and the team received today, and that took place in a 5-3 split squad loss on Monday night to the Seattle Kraken, and it happened on a play, and I'm really interested to see what your take is on this. In the first period, I believe it was about 7 or so minutes in, Studenik hit him from what I thought was behind. What were your thoughts on that check?
Well, he went in bad. I mean, there's a few different ways of looking at it. I mean, it's a meaningless game, but also these guys are, you know, vying for positions on these rosters, right?
Absolutely.
There's some that have said that, you know, Peltier put himself in a bad spot, or, you know, I get that idea to a point, but moreover, the league has become so much safer and so much more aware of the danger of these types of hits the last few years that I don't think you can fault Peltier for that. I really don't. I don't want to suggest it's entirely malicious.
You know, I'm either. The first person, I'm kind of an old school heart. You know that I'm an old school hard ass about stuff like this. And, shocker. I'm always like, I see so much today in junior hockey, especially. I know you've seen it too, where guys will literally turn to draw penalties. And to me, that's the most asinine thing in the world. And I honestly feel like turning to take a check should be a penalty on you. Whereas this situation wasn't that at all. I don't feel that Peltier turned. I've watched it only a few times just because the coverage was kind of shady that night. I don't know.
It was, yeah, it really was. So, I struggled to find anything for either one of those split-guard games.
So honestly, I didn't like rewind it 50 times and watch it like I have on some other previous hits that we've had to study and go over. But to me, it looked a little bit... I don't want to say it was blatantly dirty, but it was close.
Yeah, it was. It's a needless play. You can call it dirty, call it borderline. You can say whatever you want about it, but I really felt it was quite needless. Ultimately, regardless of the thoughts on the hit, the reality is that we're losing a very promising young player. Arguably the one who's perhaps most responsible for the lightened attitude around the team, this training camp, right? I mean, Peltier's enthusiasm is, you know, was noted last year. I mean, even look what he said about switching jersey numbers from 49 to 22,
yeah,
right?
It was comical, yeah.
I mean, everybody had him penciled in the main roster with good reason. The guy's a leader. He's an energy player. And unfortunately, for a hit that could have been, you know, I hesitate to say mild concussion because all concussions are serious, but what could have been a mild concussion or getting banged up, so to speak, it'd be required shoulder surgery.
I had a horrible gut feeling right when I saw the hit, when I saw the way he rolled over.
Well, to me, it was the arm dangling as he skated off. That's when you know, like, okay, so he doesn't have use of the arm, so the shoulder's probably separated. The good news, I guess, if we're going to grasp at straws here, is that he's a young player. He's a very fit player and therefore should be fairly resilient in his recovery. But regardless, it certainly changes the look of this team going into the regular season.
So let's switch gears and talk about that. Okay, first of all, have we heard a timeline? I have not heard a timeline.
Nothing yet, but I don't suspect we will have one until they determine the success of the surgery, right?
Probably.
Which I would suspect is probably being done in the next couple of days.
I heard next week is what I did hear.
Is on it?
That. Okay. Yeah, I heard that. I thought about that. I'm like, well, why would they wait? But yeah, I'm sure there's swelling and things like that that they probably have to manage prior to repair. But a couple things with this. Now, here's something I thought about today as I was working and thinking about this.
Not focusing on your job at all.
No, I wasn't. I was focusing on
that 100%.
We're missing a forward here. Is that in the cap era, players that make in that nine, the rookie entry level contracts, when you insert them into your roster, they save you from cap hell. So now he comes out, we save like $406,000, I believe, is what Ryan Pike reported today. I don't know if that's correct. So what are we going to put in there? Do we sign a PTO now and fill that spot with him? I'm hesitant to bring up maybe a Klapka if it's short term. I can live with that. If it's a long term, do you bring a PTO in and hope he fills that spot? But then he has to be a cheap PTO because you can't bring in more cap space. There's a dilemma that's going to go on with this.
Well, I mean, if it's PTO, it could just be a body for camp, right? Ultimately, it could be. I haven't really given much thought about who's out there. Largely because it kind of would go against the message that Conroy is sending. I suspect that he and the coaching staff are telling the team, like, this is an opportunity for somebody else. Well, I mean, it's no secret that Peltier was
going to make the team. I'm with you. I want to go younger, but we were going younger with Dewar, Peltier, Coronado. There you go. Yeah. But how many young can you put on a roster? Well, you want to get younger.
It's the same amount in this case, right? Just somebody's taking Peltier's place. I think it's going to be Dryden Hunt, honestly.
In a fourth-line role, probably.
I would say. If anything, it bumps somebody else up the rotation.
It probably bumps Dylan Dubé.
which he's been, you know, relatively good at in the past. And he's an interesting one to watch this season anyway, because
I know,
you know, all the change around the team, and he's shown some capability in the past in terms of being a scoring forward. So I don't know. I mean, part of me wants to say Connor Zary, but he hasn't really stood out just yet. Mind you, it's still early in camp.
Is he in the roster tonight? I should look.
Oh, he'd be in. I'm quite sure he is. I'd have to look as well. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We'll know a lot more in a few days. And as far as, you know, the initial question about the extent of the recovery time for Jacob Pelletier, I mean, that's got all of, well, we certainly 6 weeks plus. I mean, worst case, we're looking at the new year. Best case, maybe we see him, you know, beginning of December potentially.
Well, we don't even know.
Based on what we saw in the injury.
You know, we don't know if it's a separation. We don't know if it could be a break.
Could be. But I would just be based on the arm dangling as it was, that, and I've seen that injury before. But
yeah, you know,
we'll have an updated timeline soon, and we can argue more about it then, I guess. But in the meantime, it definitely makes camp more interesting for all the wrong reasons, I'll say.
Yeah, it definitely does. You want to continue with more bad news and then go with the good news after that, or how do we?
Let's get the bad news out of the way.
Oh, Oliver Shillington. A crush, yeah. You know, I just see this statement right out from the team that morning, and I sent it over to you, and you're like, what? I'm like, I'm on the way to a funeral, and I see this, and I'm like, oh, today is just not our day. And, you know, the team announced that following the medical and fitness testing that has determined that Oliver is unable to participate in the opening of training camp, and they talked about it a little bit for the next 24 hours, and it's silent like it was again last year. I don't know. I don't know, Kyle.
The only thing I can say about it, well, first of all, we can't rely on him at this point. And that's not to say that, you know, that we're expecting him to put his playing career ahead of his whatever's going on in his personal life. And I'm not saying that at all. It's just that, you know, obviously he was going to be a big piece of this team. For the second year in a row, he's gone for an indeterminate amount of time. I mean, the silence since it was announced leads me to believe it's probably going to be long-term again. But I think when you look at his situation, Spencer Knight's situation in Florida last year in terms of the player assistance program, regardless of what it is, it's keeping these guys from playing. We know it's not injury.
We know what Spencer Knight is.
Yeah, but in any case, though, I think the PA and the league have to come to an agreement in the next CBA about how to handle players who are rendered, you know, unable to play for an entire season like that. There has to be cap relief. There has to be some sort of actual contract relief. You can't pay a guy for 2 years
and not have his services.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I go out on sick leave tomorrow, I mean, I'll get compensation based on my salary, but not on my commission, like in my particular role. But there are certain things I can do or that my employer can do to protect themselves and for me to protect myself, right? In cases like this, it's like the team's just on the hook for, you know, losing cap space or losing actual dollars in a situation they have zero control over, right?
And I'm going to straddle the
political. And I'm just going to cut out just real quick and just say, I'm not saying this, and I know you're not saying this, to sound insensitive. It's just, you know, this is a business.
No, what I'm saying is that I'm going to straddle the line here, but I'm going to say it.
Well, how do you know with an issue like this?
Okay, right? Here's what I'm saying. We granted him an entire NHL season with a salary, I believe, of what, 2.4? I'm pulling it up here as we're speaking.
I guess 2.5, but okay, right in there.
Anyway, somewhere in there, okay. And we granted him utmost respect as a organization, as a league, and as a fan base, right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we've got to have answers as a team and as a fan base on where we're going with this. I find it very odd that if he was still dealing with the problems he dealt with last year and they were just personal mental problems, mental health issues, that there would be no reason to come from Sweden over to Calgary if you had not had those resolved enough to pass the physical and the testing.
Well, and he looked to be in phenomenal shape in the spring.
Does that lead you to believe that there may be more to this?
Yeah, I mean, as has been the case since this all started, I mean, I don't want to speculate any more than you do, but I mean, I do find either. It very strange. No, I just, but
at what point are we going to get some information, though?
Well, it's extremely strange to announce, like, hey, guys, I'm back, and then, oops, sorry, I'm not.
So that leads me to believe that he's not back, not on his own doing.
Yeah, potentially. Whatever the case, I don't know. It's not unlike the Pelletier situation, and that it's an opportunity for somebody else, which I'm going to use as a segue to talk about. First of all, I thought Esterle had a fantastic preseason game.
Me too.
Both the guys did against Vancouver. He was very, very good in a preseason game, mind you. And there's a few other defensemen, too, that are kind of turning some heads. So
there is,
maybe somebody else surprises us.
There is definitely some guys turning heads. We've had three games now. 10-0 victory over Vancouver. A couple things I want to touch on there. I thought Huberdeau's goals were outstanding.
Yeah.
I thought Coronado's hat trick showed a lot. It showed a lot.
Yeah,
now, albeit it's one game against a Vancouver roster that was awful, I guess is a fair way to put it. Ryan Huska maybe went out on a limb when he compared him to Brett Hull. I thought, back the horses up here, gosh. Comparing him to Brett Hull, holy crap.
He has an exceptional release. I mean, it's up there with some of the best guys in the league at the moment, I would say. I mean, whether or not it's comparable to Brett Hull, I mean, you're also about a lot of instincts and other things that Brett Hull had particular to him, but, I'm not going to say I'll allow it, but it's fun to think that he could have a release anywhere in that same realm, right?
Very, very, very impressive showing though. I thought it was great. I also was very impressed in that Vancouver game with, it was 10-0, but Vancouver did get quite a few shots, and I thought Jacob Markstrom was very strong.
He was, yeah. He looked like the Jacob Markstrom of old, the Vezina candidate from a couple seasons ago. So, like we said in our last episode, if he can return to that form, and if Huberdeau looks like he did in that game too, wow, look out.
Yeah, I was super happy after that game. Very, very happy. The Seattle games were a television nightmare for me.
Me too. I think they were a nightmare for everybody, no matter what country you're in.
It was bits and pieces. It was using my VPN to pull up some different things. And I saw parts of the game in Calgary. I did not see Uyghur get tossed. That was quite the little outburst.
Apparently, I didn't see it either.
Dustin Wolf was far from spectacular, but I don't judge on one game.
No.
Let's see what happens there. I did think from what I saw that Dan Vladar was very strong in the 3-2 shootout win.
Yeah, certainly seemed to be. And Yegor Sharangovich, that shot.
Hey, what did you think of him? That's another guy I wanted to talk to you about. What were your thoughts on him?
Well, I initially said I don't see how he doesn't get 50 points if he's playing on any one of the lines. It looks like he might, but now I'm like watching him play. I'm like, we could have a 60-70 point winger here. We really could.
I liked him.
I'm reaching a little bit, but I mean, his shot is elite.
For the listeners, we promised projections this week, and then all hell broke loose. So projections will be next week. So let's see now, 1 week from today, if Kyle throws out that crazy projection for this year. I like it, but
yeah, that's what I'm going to say right now. And another player I want to mention briefly, because he's certainly got a lot of fanfare and deserves a really long look in camp, is Ilya Solova. How the hell do you say that? I actually looked up the pronunciation earlier, but I haven't heard it yet.
It's funny because I practiced it before the show and I forgot it now. Ilya Solyov. Right?
Anyway, he has a phenomenal two-way game.
He's a fifth-round pick too, I believe.
Yeah.
This guy has impressed me a ton. He is strong. He is steady. I'm interested to see how that
moves the puck. Well, he's a good skater. Like, I haven't seen him do anything poorly as of yet.
Would he not be a great third? He'd be a third pairing guy right now, I think, for us. And now, geez, Brad, slow down. It was one game. I've watched him one full game, so I need to
Yeah, but if you look at the scouting reports and you read what other people are saying in the Flames community about him, like, it's, you're not far off at all. And realistically, I mean, maybe he's our 6D and Esterly's our 7th, which I think Esterly was always intended to be. But
you never know. Those guys could go back and forth.
Oh, I think they will to some extent or another. But, I mean, there's the D in this team, it's interesting. I mean, you think about it. I mean, so the Shillington thing is hanging over our heads again. Michael Stone's retired.
Retirement? Should we start the?
I'm gonna miss that shot so much.
Should we start the fanfare to pull him out of retirement?
Let's get through a few more rounds of cuts and see how we feel.
All right. He's my safety net. I don't know what I'm gonna do this year without him sitting up in the press box.
I don't know. Cross our bridge when we get to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah, who else is impressed?
Brady Lyle's been pretty good, actually. I think he's had a pretty strong camp.
Where are you at on Hanzik?
A really good camp. He's got one more year junior for sure. I think he's going to make probably maybe even the last round of cuts. It's tricky, though, because, you know, the junior seasons are already starting up, so they might want to cut him sooner just to get him, you know, back to his junior team right away. But I don't know. I thought he's a year away for sure, if not two.
Did you not chuckle though when Dewar scored a goal? I laughed right away. I was like, yes.
Oh, of course.
Walker Dewar is back.
He's gonna have a good season. And I think he's gonna be versatile too. I think you'll see him move up and down the line, putting in injuries and all that kind of stuff.
You mentioned Australia.
What do they call that? Found gold.
He is.
What that saying is. I mean, he's a guy that you expect nothing of. You sign him. You know, he's a warm body. He's a pro hockey player. And it's like, damn, he's pretty good.
I just love the way he plays.
Well, exactly. Intangibles.
North South guy that takes a body, isn't afraid to get in there, and can score.
Welcome to the cliche portion of our show. Although, hey, right on all counts across the board.
It is. He is. I mean, he's.
He's a coach's dream. There, that's the two cliche I was looking for. Coach's dream. All right, we should move on.
Let's move on to something goofy. Let's talk, before we get to the big news of the day, let's talk about the Heritage jerseys, because I chuckled. You messaged me right away, and I want to get your take, because I think we have a difference of opinions on this one.
I know we do. I don't like either one of them. I mean, granted, the Oilers one's terrible. The Flames one, I could see it growing on me because I'm a Flames fan. Yeah. I appreciate the Heritage part of it, but just, eh.
The Oilers one's junk, and I'm not saying that because I'm a Flames fan, because honestly, I like some of the Oilers stuff that they've done.
I've said before, and I'll say it again, the navy blue Oilers jerseys in the late 90s, early 2000s, I love those jerseys.
I did not. I know you did.
Oh, I thought they were beautiful.
I like the old school 80s ones that Gretzky wore. They were nice looking. That's kind of what they're wearing now. I don't like the orange, the dark blue ones with the big orange stripes that they were wearing a couple years ago.
Terrible.
Those are awful.
And they also had those pajama ones in the late 2000s. Those are the most boring jerseys ever. Remember that? They had the navy one and the white one.
With
they
the just oil had, like, drop?
A couple little lines. The oil drop. Yeah, that's a whole other story. But
that was bad. But this one's awful. This has got a drip with a number in it. It's got the brown ugly pants and gloves. I just don't like it. As for the Flames one, I really, really like it. I like the red helmet with the white jersey. But one thing I don't like, one thing I think that would make this a 10 beller for me, is if they would have put a little bit of yellow in the stripes.
Yeah, it might look a little busy, though. I don't know.
Just a fine line, because you got yellow in the logo. You got to put a little bit in the stripes.
Yeah, I would probably add to it. I don't know. I find like the Heritage stuff is so contrived and so forced sometimes. It's like
nothing's worse than the Colorado Avalanche ones. That looked like a freaking sweater that a grandma sewed for somebody.
Oh, yeah. It looked kind of like all the reverse retros for the teams that shouldn't have had a reverse retro, like Vegas.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst ones. Who else? Did Seattle even have one?
I don't think so. How do you have a reverse retro after 2 years?
Well, Vegas, I went after 3 or 4 and it was just like, what are you guys doing? Anyway, enough about that.
What do you think of Jacob Markstrom's new mask?
Oh, I like it. That's a winner.
That's definitely cool. Johnny Cash.
I'm a big sucker for goaltender masks. I'd love to add one to my that reminds me of something. I'm going to get to this in a second. But yeah, quickly on the masks. Big fan of goaltender masks. I'd love to collect them, but they cost a fortune. However,
come on,
great
Kyle.
Segue. Welcome to the Game Worn Jersey Hobby. Pleasure to have you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Well, it was kind of an accident. So I committed a little bit of sacrilege. I bought some Winnipeg Jets jerseys, Trevor Lewis ones, of course, because I got a hell of a deal. In so doing, my new friend in Winnipeg hooked me up with a couple others that Brad had picked out, which I will be mailing to him as soon as I receive them in approximately 1 to 2 more business days.
Oh, I know. No rush. I'm looking forward to having them, and I'm looking forward to getting going. I'm still looking for, I honestly, I saw a guy post a Sean Donovan jersey today. I don't know if it was a gamer, but I was like, ooh.
You need to go back and look.
Gosh. It wasn't for sale.
Man, it's addictive.
It wasn't for sale. You just had it posted because there's 16 days until the season
starts. Listen, man.
Everything's for sale.
Million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. Everybody's got a price.
Should we segue into the big news of the day?
Yes, which is why I'm wearing my Game Worn number 11, actually 100th initial season. Cool
patch on that, too.
Yeah, it's a great one. So my Michael Backlund Game Worn jersey. I forget what season it's from. I think it's 16. Yeah, it'd be 1670 because 100th anniversary patch. Anyway, our new Capitaine. So
it's interesting. I saw Elliot Friedman tweeted yesterday that his prediction was that Michael Backlund was signing in the neighborhood of 3 years, 5.5. And quite honestly, when I saw that, I was like, let's do it. I was fine.
I was not as fired up as you were. I was like, that's a little much. But then the deal that they actually, but I understand where you're coming from too. I could see it, but the deal they signed today, like chef's kiss. Like how do you
beat that? 2 years. So it'll be three counting this year because we got one more year left of them. Then 2 years starts next year, $4.5 million. The extension is wonderful if you're a Flames fan. This is great work by Conroy and is also not screwing Backlund over, obviously, because he agreed to it. I'm so happy this got done. I am just so happy this got done. And now he's named
everybody
captain.
Everybody gets what they wanted out of it, right?
Yeah.
That's how I see it. Everybody got what they want. So Backlund's got 2 years to see if this team is going to be able to contend. The Flames named a captain, a longtime player who studied under other prominent captains, you know, Giordano and obviously Iginla. But the money is good. It's an easily movable contract at the trade deadline, you know, 2 seasons from now if it needed to come to that. What's ahead?
I don't think it will. I think he'll just do 1 year.
I don't think so either. But I mean, this contract, you can do a lot of things. This is the opposite of a bad signing.
Absolutely. This is as safe as you can get. It's as safe as you can get, right?
And I mean, there was a lot of talk at the press conference today too about, you know, does this entice other guys like Hannaford, Lindholm to sign? And I mean, it's kind of a gun shy answer, but I think in a way it does. It's like, you know what? Yeah. If he's going to stay here, maybe I'll stay here.
Well, it certainly doesn't hurt.
Oh God. No. He's very well liked in the community by the players, by the fans. And he had a career season last year. I don't expect he's going to replicate that, but he's still very, very valuable to this team.
What were your thoughts on what Uyghur had to say about it earlier? Late last week?
I love everything Uyghur says.
Did you hear what he said? He said that he goes, well, Backlund is our captain. He's been our captain. You said such high praise for Michael Backlund, and I'm probably the most biased guy you're going to talk to about this. I've been a Michael Backlund fan for years. He does so much for this team that goes unnoticed, and I don't know how I don't know how you measure that, and what that would be like if we didn't have him. He's an ultimate third line center, and if we're somehow able to get Lindholm signed at a reasonable rate, and we have Lindholm, Kadri, Backlund, how safe do you feel? Because I feel very safe with that.
Well, I felt safe with it last year, and that was a bust, but there's a lot of reasons for that. This year, because of, it's hard to overemphasize this, but the culture change, the coaching change, I don't think there's really a better... Yeah, I can't think of any, a better three-center lineup in the league. There's some that I think would be as good, but I don't think there's any necessarily better.
I was super happy with it. I feel like things are coming together, I know that's slightly premature since it's just one signing.
No, but they are coming together. That doesn't mean they're going to win the Cup or have a deep playoff run. But I mean, versus the situation we were in last year, it's absolutely coming together. Huberto had a super confident game again in the preseason. He was fantastic. The Kadri goal, that backhand against Vancouver, holy Lord. The only thing those three centers are lacking in my mind is that elite, bona fide number one center quality. But you take any of those three centers line up against any in the league, you're not necessarily going to have a problem.
But, you know, I started to think about this, and I'm all about the Sarangovic on the first line with Lindholm. And I like where that actually went on. Was it Sunday night we watched the Vancouver game?
Yep.
But I started to think about, gosh, and you're going to laugh at me for saying this. I started to think about what if Coronado could fit in there this year?
He could, with that shot of his.
Now, is that putting too much pressure on the young player? But if you look at that and look at how that slots the wingers, man, are we just turning into a lot better,
deeper team. I don't think it does. I mean, there's so many good young players in the league now. I mean, it's increasingly become like a young man's game, right?
Yeah, no, I agree.
But what is he lacking other than perhaps some defensive acumen, which, you know, Lindholm's got in spades?
Yeah, but he has to. I mean, that is obviously probably an area that the coaching staff has talked to him about having to be a focus on. And I'm not saying that he can't do that and do that well. So I'm almost encouraging it to be tried.
Oh, I think you have to try it. Power play time. You know what? It's hard not to get into projections for the season, but he's. I think he is going to be in the Calder conversation at different points in the season. I don't think he's going to touch Calder. I could see him finishing top five in Calder voting.
Really?
Largely, I hope so. Largely because of opportunity, right?
I feel it's like right he's going to get a fair amount of opportunity. I would agree with you there. I really do believe that. I still like what Sarangovic did too, though. So. Boy, there's a lot of
positives. But even if he's on the second line and some maybe some first power play, you know what I mean? Like there's lots of ice time for both those guys.
A lot of positives came out of that 10-0 game. Not just because it was 10-0, but you know, when Huberto toe dragged that one back and then just rifled it into the corner.
I've shown that to everybody to look at it.
I put it on Twitter. I'm like, man, I'll tell you something. That might have been goal of the year last year.
It was a very, very, very confident play. And I don't.
Did the Flames?
I remember a couple glimpses last year of that with him, but very few.
But did the Flames have a goal that nice last year? I think our goal of the year, the one goal I remember, was when Toffoli came down off balance and scored on that semi breakaway in his first game. That was 2 years ago. Holy shit.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, that was the one in the pass from Gaudreau. Yeah.
I don't remember. I watched, does a goal stand out to you last year?
No, and actually. It doesn't, and not that long ago, a few weeks back, I believe, like the Flames on the website, I posted like, you know, the top 10 goals or top 20 goals from last season, and I watched it, and I don't remember any of them.
That's why I said not that. A one. Like, that might have been a goal of the year last year.
But we were boring last year. There wasn't much creativity. I think players felt stifled. The power play sucked. It was just nothing about that was fun. I mean, even for you and I, we talked about this pretty candidly. I mean, doing this show was kind of agonizing some nights.
Oh, you know, we love doing it. We vented though, boy. Oof.
We had to, but I mean, like if you're a rebuilding young team, you know you're going to have some shit seasons, and that's fine. It comes with the territory. But when you're supposed to be a decent team and you're that bad and you lose that many games by one goal, like, I don't know, 28, 29, 30, whatever it was, man, that makes for a long year.
Tough, does it?
I have no doubt our listeners can notice a big difference in our tone. I mean, we're only in training camp. There's going to be some highs and lows, but
we had some lows today. The Peltier injury had me kind of down in the dumps this morning, and you're like, you toot his horn like way more than I do.
Yeah, he's our captain here. I love the guy.
And I was like, kind of like, oh, it just, I felt like it was a blow. And then I saw the Kelsey Snow tweet, and I'm just like, man, what I thought was like a really good day is kind of getting awful here. And then the Backlund news started to really rifle and shuffle around. And I was like, okay, I feel good about this. But hey, did you notice? I saw a little bit of outrage in Flames Twitter a couple days ago when they showed the team pictures, the individual pictures, and Backlund didn't have an A on his jersey. And people were freaking out on Twitter. And I laughed. And you know what? I actually thought that was a good thing. I'm like, well, they can't put a C on it yet. But that means they're going to put a C on it.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, obviously the contract negotiations are probably, you know, nearing conclusion. It's like, hey, man, it's that time. We have to do our team photos. Or we're just going to pray you a Flames jersey. We'll make an announcement next week. Or, you know, let's talk again tomorrow and tidy this up. Like, they had an agreement in principle for probably close to a week at this point.
Sounded like the golf tournament was the clincher. I listened to Craig Conroy talk this afternoon, and the golf tournament was a really good turning point for this.
Well, this is a great example of anybody who spends a long time in an organization like Craig Conroy has. And now we're starting to see what he's learned and how he's kind of making this team his own. I mean, the Sharon Govich trade I thought was a good trade at the time. Now It looks even better. They drafted well. And this Backlund signing is, you can't, as of right now, they got him below market value. That's a 2-year deal. It's a show me the team to show Backlund kind of deal, as opposed to Backlund showing the team. They know what they have. Conroy had a really, really good summer.
I had to laugh my ass off though when Backlund was talking this afternoon, and he was talking about how he literally did like a checks and balances of positives and negatives. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is exactly what I would do. Because like, I'm like such a list OCD guy. I would have had like a pros and cons. And that's exactly what he did. And he's like, there's so many more pros to staying in Calgary with this team than there is cons. It's just, it doesn't make any sense not to do this.
Well, and his family is so ingrained in the community, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his daughters and his wife were at the press conference. And I just think it was so toxic, especially by the end of last season. Like, you're just dealing with that the whole time. By the time training camp rolled around, it's a fresh start for everybody. There's no team in the league, I don't think, anyway, that has a bigger morale boost coming into the season than the Flames. And that's not to sit here and shit on Daryl Sutter. It was what it was. But
no, and Michael Backlund actually made a positive comment about Daryl Sutter today, saying, you know, and I, you know, I think, I believe Daryl Sutter was the GM that drafted him, and I Michael Backlund thrived under Daryl Sutter. He did. And he may have been frustrated last year, which, you know what? Daryl Sutter was probably frustrated with last year too. So I look forward to when we can get a couple seasons behind us where we're not throwing axes at Daryl Sutter anymore, and we can look at it for what it's worth as a bad year and remember the good. And that'll come in time. We're not there yet. Obviously, the wounds are still fresh.
Sutter gave us our two most memorable seasons in the last 20 years.
Yep.
And we're forever, you know, indebted to him for that.
Forever grateful.
But have you ever seen a coach that Michael Backlund didn't play well under? It's pretty telling about the player, even Jeff though you have Ward. To think about it. Yeah, God, let's not go down that road.
You want to go down that road?
Absolutely not. You don't even want to know the things I'd rather do than not go down that road.
21st, you know what? I had to laugh there too. 21st captain, I'm like, I want to forget about 13 of them.
What, Todd Simpson, Steve Smith?
Yeah, those guys. Yes, those guys.
Bob Bugner.
Which he probably was a really good guy. I don't know Bob Bugner, so how do I?
Probably a good captain to Dave Lowry. I'm still mad about when Greg Gilbert stripped him of the captaincy, but you don't strip your captain just because you're a shitty coach.
How can Lowry not be a good captain?
Well, apparently his son's a captain now too, right?
Exactly.
I couldn't tweet that fast enough. When you know, how proud would that family be?
Ugh.
You know, father and son both captaining an NHL team in Canadian markets. Good for them. Great family.
They and well, a feature on well, Dave. Well deserved though too, because Adam's a hell of a player. Yeah. I'd give anything to have him in Calgary.
Absolutely, and I remember, God, this would have been way back in 2001, I think, when Dave Lowry signed. He left the Sharks as a free agent, signed in Calgary. And CBC, I'll never find it, the footage is somewhere, but CBC interviewed him about coming to Calgary, and he talked about his family, and like Adam was like a little kid, and it was just like, it's weird to think back on it, but he was such a likable guy, and I met him 8 years after that. It's great, great family. And I'm with you. If Adam Lowry was ever available and the Flames could grab him. Yeah. Heart and soul player.
Dylan Dubé topped the fitness testing. Did you see that?
I did.
Michael Backlund was second. Third straight year for Dylan Dubé.
Yep. Pretty impressive.
I wish they would publish that whole list. I want to see that list.
some guys probably don't want you to see that list.
Could I tell you one thing? I will tell you that on Sunday night, I really enjoyed watching the 2-0 game. Well, who the hell didn't?
Yeah, seriously.
But
I got so many texts the next day.
Gosh.
All I kept saying was, oh, I wish it mattered.
Yeah, me too. I had everybody telling me, wow, this Flames got to save some. I'm like, shut up. But yeah. It was just a breath of fresh air not to see big 17 lumbering out there.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm an asshole.
Well, you know what? I mean, I'm glad to see he's back in Boston. I mean, it's a good fit for him, obviously. It always was. But yeah, it's nice to see. I hate even to say it, but I mean, like the Richies. I like Trevor Lewis, obviously, but Lewis, Lucic, like we moved on from a lot of guys. It was time to move on from.
We did. God, we did.
Actually, Toffoli wasn't a good skater. I mean, by initial standards.
Actually, you know what? Exactly right now, last year, he was like on the top of our list for biggest worries.
Yep.
He was.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know,
so I mean, this team, especially if you have obviously Dewar full time, Coronado presumably, this is going to be a fast team.
You know, as I've watched this preseason, have you found yourself worrying the whole time about injuries? And I was doing this before the Peltier. When Huberto went down, I was like crapping my pants. And that brings us to the X factor this week. I needed a lighthearted tweet this week. We've had a tough week in Calgary. With the Shillington news, the snow. And when I saw this hit Twitter during the game, when Huberto goes off, and all of us are thinking, oh, man, is he hurt? Is he not?
I was panicking.
Tyler Van Dusen fires off. It's okay, everyone. Huberto is just taking a shit.
And Van Dusen with a doozy.
And I thought, you know, it's exactly what I needed at that moment. And I started laughing immediately, and I felt a whole hell of a lot better when I saw him come back to the bench, and thank goodness he was okay, because I know he struggled last year, but we can't go into the year missing Peltier, Huberto, and anybody else. So, Tyler, thank you for lightening my mood while he was in the locker room getting checked on, or doing whatever he was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
What else? Oh, I want one other thing, and I know this is so stupid to talk about, but I thought it was cool. Did you see what the Saddle Dome put in this year? The concession stand where you walk in and you pick up whatever, and when you go out, you just scan your credit card and it knows what you took and charges you for it. It's all like super high tech, automated. It's like, I don't know, have you been to an Apple store before? That's how that works there too. Oh, yeah. And they're doing that at the Dome this year.
Meanwhile, I'm such a loser. I'm still like mystified at how when I took the chocolate bar out of my mini bar, my hotel in Halifax, and somehow knew that I took it on my bill the next morning. Nobody been in there yet. I don't get it.
You remember though, like you go to those hotels, you know, and you look at the thing and you're like, oh man, I could use a drink right now. And you're like, and you look at the price list and you're just like, holy shit, I think I'll hold off and just drink water and go to bed.
Yeah. That's just not worth it at all. Yeah.
We have 5 preseason games left. The Jets and Flames are about to drop the puck, or have already dropped the puck. And Kyle and I are going to go watch that now. But I just want to get through these. We got Edmonton, Friday night, and we got Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Vancouver the first part of October before we get things going for real. I can't wait for that. But, yeah.
Well, the next time that we record, we are going to be in the midst of, it's like listening to a good album, the deep cuts, right? We're going to have a thinner roster. And a much better idea what it's going to look like. Because right now, I mean, there's such a conglomerate of players. There's already been a first round of cuts, obviously, but the surprises are going to start to really jump off the page in the next week, I think.
Yep. Yeah. And we'll be back Wednesday we'll record. Thursday we'll drop. Next week we're going to talk predictions. We're going to talk player projections and whatever else has happened between now and then in camp. And I don't know, this week caught me off guard. We had a hell of a lot of stuff happen. Let's hope we have a hell of a lot happen next week, but let's have good things happen, Kyle. We're due, right? We're due for good things. Backlund captain, good thing. we're due for some good news in Calgary. So, yeah.
Well, also, just a quick shout out to you for having the foresight to put the Snowy Strong emblem on our podcast tonight. Really nice touch.
Yeah, and you know, I feel so bad for them. And it's definitely something that I'll have in my purrs as the week goes on. And I hope all Flames fans do. The guy's just been the biggest fighter I've ever seen. So, you know, everybody just has so much respect for them and that family and how they've handled this. And we're just wishing them the best.
Absolutely. That's all we can do at this time. And yeah, we keep him and his family in our thoughts for sure.
All right, Flames fans, enjoy the preseason. Lots of games left. Let's watch out for injuries. Let's get through this. Let's put up some more 10 spots. That was fun. Flames fans were chatting. We want 10. I thought that was great.
That's great. Get at us on social media, too. We want to know what you guys want to hear, what you want to talk about.
Yeah, you can find us at Flame Unfiltered. We have a little website, flamesunfiltered.ca. Kyle and I's Twitter handles are on the screen. That is at VanLewis14 and at Brad Burrud. Follow us, talk to us, tweet to us, do whatever. We will love fan interaction. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next week for another episode of Flames Unfiltered.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Burrud and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.